There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. On today's episode, a sign from the other side lets a listener know that everything is going to be all right. A mother believes she's the only one to see the ghost in her home until her child asks where the ghost went. A listener believes they saw a shadow person from several centuries ago, and synchronicity is getting the best of one listener who doesn't understand the intended message. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brusky joining you once again.
Hi.
Are you enjoying the puppy show that's on the television right now?
Yeah, because one of the dogs looks like Bear.
I didn't see that one, but it's been a puppy fiesta in here today.
Uh-huh.
Because Harp's been kind of hanging out with me a lot of the day when I'm working, and she's sitting over on the couch, and then she'll come up here and sit by me, and she'll turn different things on the TV, and we just watch them on mute because I'm working and I'm on calls and recording things, and she knows that, so she'll just have the volume down, but she'll turn on shows. But it's been just puppies galore. I don't know. I don't even know what this is or what channel it's on or whatnot, but she tends to find these channels or shows I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, she's good at that.
It's a looping, or it's not even YouTube, where there's, you know, you can easily find random puppy videos.
We had to ban her from YouTube.
We did, because it got kind of bad there for a while. She was watching all sorts of, it wasn't bad for you stuff. It was just things that I didn't think were very intelligent.
No.
It was like, what kind of show is this? And I didn't even understand it, and maybe someone else out there with children is more in sync with what this is. I've never even Googled some of these shows, and mm-hmm. I put that in quotes, because they just seem so weird. It was people. I mean, there's a couple of them, but one of them was people, adults, dressing up in like Mickey Mouse costumes and popular character costumes. Obviously, these are not sanctioned by Disney videos.
No.
And they weren't doing anything inappropriate. They would just be in strange situations and places. And it was just weird.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even like how people do like the cosplay stuff and they, you know, it wasn't like a convention.
No.
It was just weird. And it was designed for children, but not by
parents. Yeah.
It was just, anyway, I don't know. It was odd. And there were some other ones too, where it was like one person that would play with,
it's grown-ups playing with toys.
Yeah. It was like if you went into the toy store and then sat there and played with them as an adult and filmed it and then put it on YouTube.
And the thing is, if you were a parent with your child in the toy store and you saw this happening, you would quickly usher your child to a different aisle.
You would, if there was an adult sitting there doing the stuff with the toys. Like, okay, let's move along. Come on.
You would assume they're a pedophile and leave.
You would, except it's on YouTube, so it makes it like, okay. It was weird.
I know.
It was just strange. Anyhow. So there you go, YouTube, and I'm happy about YouTube no longer being an option for her
I guess the name of Ewing the show Pleasure. On Netflix is Precious Puppies, if anybody wants to check that out.
Precious Puppies, everyone. It looks like there's, is it a one episode or is it like a, click on that. I think it's just, it's a 53-minute program of puppies. So there you go. Put that on for your kids. They'll love it. 855-853-4. Ooh, it looks like that one just took a bite out of the, oh, I'm kidding.
I thought you really saw something.
I know you looked.
I did.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us or stories of fluffy puppies. Full hour, just people talking about puppies. Erica writes in, hello, my name's Erica. I live in South Texas. I've been wanting to write in for a while, but wanted to catch up on episodes first. Almost there. Also, will become an EPP once I am caught up. My story is in three parts. Here it is. My grandmother passed away in February of last year. I was very close to her, being the oldest grandchild. My children were also very close to her, and she had a special bond with my oldest son, being that before she became ill, she watched him for some while I was working. She was very protective of her grandkids, and especially her great-grandkids. She always called to make sure her babies were safe and to threaten me if anything ever happened to them. But a week after she passed, my youngest son and I were sitting in the living room watching a movie. It started to get late and he fell asleep on the sofa. Got up and tried to wake him up so that he could move to his room. But he refused to move from his comfy spot on the sofa, so I covered him with a blanket and turned off the TV. I walked around the sofa to the only light switch in the living room and turned off the lights. As I was walking down the hall to my bedroom, a thought popped into my head. Maybe I should leave a light on for him in case he wakes up and gets scared. No sooner did that thought pop in my head, the light popped back on. I froze and called for my older son, who was in his bedroom just across from me. He came out of his room and asked what had happened. When I told him, he just laughed and said, "Oh, Mom, it's just Grandma watching over him." A few weeks after that happened, I was lying in bed and my youngest son again climbed into bed with me because he was scared. I was tired and didn't argue with him. As I started to fall asleep, I heard a sigh coming from his side of the bed, but it wasn't close enough to be him. It sounded like it came from the other side of where he was lying. I was still hoping it was him, and I was so tired I couldn't tell. So I asked him what was the matter, and to my surprise, he said, "Mom, did you hear that?" I asked him what he heard, and he said it sounded like someone breathing next to him by the side of the bed. Neither one of us wanted to fall asleep after that. The last part of my story happened recently. A few months ago, I thought I'd lost my dog. My dad called me and asked if I had let my dog out of the house before I left for work that morning, because he had gone by and he couldn't find her anywhere. I immediately panicked because my dog is another child to me. Quickly posted a pic of her on Facebook and shared it to the local animal shelter's page, and right away people started to share my post, but no one had seen her. I decided to leave work and speed home to find her. When I got to the parking lot, I got a notification that said someone else had shared my post. It was my grandmother's full name. Funny thing is, I've never before in my life met or heard of anyone else with her name. It's a bit unique. My eyes immediately welled up with tears. This had a strange feeling. She was trying to tell me to relax and that everything would be okay. Sure enough, I got home, and guess who walks right up to me? My fur baby. It might have been a complete coincidence, but it comforted me in a weird way. Thank you for all that you do. Keep it up.
I think it was just a sign just to say, it's going to be fine. I got this. I mean, who knows what the name is. Mm-hmm. She didn't say what the grandmother's name was. So how common that would be, but just the
Jill
timing.
Doe.
Just the timing of it. You know, mm-hmm. It's one of those things, just kind of a, I got this.
Sure. I agree. On that same note, if your last name was Doe and you named your son John, it would probably be a very unique name.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, people probably don't name their children that just because of how what was created as like the a generic name
mm-hmm.
has been branded that for so long now. It's now extremely unique.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, and I don't know what would be, you know, like a common, I mean, there's a lot of ways you could find a common name, but the one that's been branded the generic. Was there at some point in time a large influx of John Doe's or Jane Doe's out there that they said, oh, it's just, this is the most generic name we can come up with?
I have no idea. I don't know why they call it that.
No. I'm just kind of curious. You know, what is the history on that?
I don't know. I think, you know, if people that named their children were logical in most cases, then yeah, you wouldn't have that many John Does. But I think you mm-hmm. probably have quite a few just because people are like, oh, I'm going to be creative and name my kid John Doe.
That's true.
Because you have a lot of stupid people naming their kids very stupid things.
I wonder how that would go. That would be a horrible thing to be named because your entire life can be like, no, what's your real name? John Doe. Right. No, seriously. We need your actual name, mm-hmm. sir. It'd be a lot of that.
Yes.
And then a lot of resentment towards the parents mm-hmm. forever. Thanks for the story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Amy writes, when I was a child, between the ages of 6 to 10, we lived on a street in Ohio of old Victorian homes, and our next-door neighbors were heavily into the occult. Halloween was her favorite holiday. They held seances and their kids' birthday parties at a real coffin in their cellar that they used as decoration during Halloween. I had a classmate of mine. Uh-huh. Did I ever tell you this story?
Yeah, you did, and that they had one that they'd bring out.
It was so weird.
Was it like, you said it was like a current coffin, not like an old...
Mm-mm.
No, it was an old one?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it was, no, it felt like a current one. It looked like one you'd see at the funeral.
Okay, so that's what I meant.
Yeah.
It was like, it looked like that, not like one of the prop ones like you see in the Old West, you know.
No, I mean, those people have now for props.
Uh-huh.
You know, no, this looked like it was just ripped out of a funeral home.
See, to me, that's just so weird.
It was. And the child at the time, and I don't know what the circumstances were at the home or anything like that, bit of a reclusive kid.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like kindergarten, first grade, right around there. This is a kid who didn't get bullied. He bullied quite a bit. He was kind of mean.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of avoided him. I don't think he had a ton of friends because he was always being mean to other kids. So, I mean, there's probably a lot of bad things going on in that world of his. But as a kid, all you know is this kid's being mean. So
yeah.
I didn't really know him very well because I didn't want to know him very well. But I do remember, because my hometown was not big. You pretty much knew where all the kids lived and where your friends lived.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, it was very early in the season of Halloween. I don't even know if it was October yet. It might have been like mid-September.
So like when we start decorating.
Yeah, but even back then, people didn't. Uh-huh. I mean, the stuff in the store wasn't even out at that point yet. This was, you know, 88 or so. I remember driving by the house. My mom was like, what the heck? Because it was out there in the front yard on a coffin stretcher. You know, we've seen the coffin stretchers at antique stores.
It's like a coffin cart.
Yeah, we kind of go, that's a creepy thing. But people make like coffee tables out of them now. But it was on one of those.
Uh-huh.
It was almost like they were having a funeral in the front yard. People weren't out there. It was just sitting there as if, you know, set up for a viewing. I'm not even kidding. I remember this vividly.
Mm-hmm.
I could even, when we were in town, I could point out to you which house it was. It was right on the corner of Maine, and there's a quick shop there, and then there's the house. And it was only, and it didn't stay there either. It was only out in the front yard for maybe 2 or 3 days. And then it went in. And I don't know if at some point maybe the city or somebody said, you can't have a coffin in your front yard. This is not a Halloween decoration. Or what?
And see, that's so weird because it's kind of a current one. So those are like expensive.
Exactly.
It's not like you can make those like Old West looking coffins mm-hmm. real easy, just out of scrap wood, but fancy ones.
As far as I know, they weren't like owners of a funeral home or anything that would have access to these things.
Yeah.
I mean, and from what I could tell, I don't think they made a whole lot of money to be disposably buying a real coffin as a prop.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't like, hey, we have all the money in the world. Let's make it really spooky and get a real coffin. It was like, what the hell's going on here? I mean, questionably to the point of, is there a body in this coffin? Or is this like a ritual? Is this, I don't know.
I never heard of such a thing. And it's not like when someone dies, you bring the coffin to the house to put the body in and then take it to the funeral home.
Sure.
That's not the process. I don't know. It was odd. It was weird. That's all I got. It made me think of that. So continuing on, the mother loved painting pictures of haunted houses. And in fact, one of her best, most spooky paintings hung above she and her husband's bed. They had skulls around their home and decor. And one of my daughters and a girl my age told me with this strange pride and excitement that an old man had died in her bedroom. His family clearly felt this was all in good fun and were quite a nice, normal family in most respects. However, their house was incredibly disturbing to be in. The air always felt thick and oppressive, no matter how sunny the day. That house always felt very dark. It was like there was a murky gray veil over your vision when you were in there. Sometimes during the summer, all we neighbor kids would play hide-and-seek in there when it was raining outside, and believe me, there was no better house to freak yourself out in. When the family would go on holiday, they'd ask my mother to water their plants, and she dreaded it. She'd pray the entire time she was in there and get out as fast as possible. Something about that house was just not right, and you only felt you could breathe properly when you'd finally step back outside. Hands down, the creepiest room of the house was that of the eldest daughter. The family had converted the entire attic into a bedroom for her. A great space for a teenager, but I hated going up there. It felt terrifying. I could never put my finger on exactly why. One day, the younger daughter, my age, asked if I'd go up there and play with a Ouija board with her. I never heard of such a thing and reluctantly decided to participate. I didn't understand that the planchette was supposed to move on the board when your hands were on it. All I knew for sure was that we asked the board questions and the planchette moved entirely by itself. I got completely freaked out and remember screaming at my friend in growing hysteria, accusing her of moving it or hitting the board. She backed away, showed me she was touching nothing, and the planchette continued to move. We were probably 8 years old when this occurred. I immediately got up and fled the room and the house. My friend close on my heels. I went home and told my mother, and she prayed with me. I never went into that house again. I'm a Christian and firmly believe that demonic forces are real and not to be messed with and not to be taken lightly. Scary stuff.
Would you, if your neighbor was doing seances and had a demon in their house and they asked you to please water their house plants when they were on vacation, would you or would you not?
It's a neighborly thing to do.
I just can't get over that the mom was like, you know, if you have to go and pray constantly while you're doing something for somebody, don't do it. Don't water their house plant.
Yeah, I think, you know, people are entitled to do what they want to do. And I'm also entitled to not feel comfortable going in your house and watering your plants.
No.
And I would be afraid of something attaching onto me or something.
Yeah.
And that would be the fear. It's not necessarily even of them. It's like, maybe they got this under control and they're happy with what they're doing and they're cool with it. There's probably other stuff around here that's not going to be as you know, neighborly,
mm-hmm.
if you will, that could easily decide, hey, I'm going to hit you right over here because I can.
Yeah.
So I think I would probably let the ficus pass. And,
yeah. That's just too damn bad.
Yeah. I probably would not be all that. I'd come up with some sort of excuse. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm watering the other Satanist plants next door. I'm already engaged. I don't want to get too much darkness in my life this week. But when I'm done with them, we're good. I can come to your house. I just can't have too much of this at one time.
Yeah.
And then, oh, okay. That's great.
It's just funny to me that somebody that participates in those things gives a shit about their house plants.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's scary stuff of what that stuff can bring on. And I don't, I guess to each their own, but at the same point, I think I don't care how into it you are or how much in control you think you are when it comes to some of that stuff, you're not.
Yeah.
And it can go beyond your control, I think, very quickly. Are there practices that probably keep some of that stuff under a bit more control than someone who doesn't know what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But even, you know, the most, you know, safe person, you know, if you're a trapeze artist or a whatever that has some sort of danger involved in what you do, things can go wrong.
Yeah.
There are still possibilities of things not working the way you planned them. And I think that's very true of that stuff as well. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. This one comes in and says, this is a pretty short, but I still have no explanation for this. In 2013, my husband and I bought our first house. It was an almost complete gut job, but it took us a year to fix it, enough where we could get the permits for a company. Our house is for occupancy. The house is just a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, 904 square foot basic starter home. During the renovations, I'd occasionally see someone wearing a blue baseball cap walk by the kitchen window. I never thought much about it, just thought it was my father-in-law. In November of 2014, we finally moved in. We kept working on the house. Still are, but everything seemed great. In probably late winter 2015, I was having a really hard time sleeping. We're having some really off dreams and would wake up sweating and terrified. One night I was having another dream. I woke up sweating and rolled over trying to clear my head. I checked the baby monitor and everything was quiet. I started to relax and rolled onto my back and saw a woman crouching in the corner of my ceiling. Just as I went to reach over to wake up my husband, I blinked and she was gone. I was terrified after that, but managed to fall asleep. I never mentioned anything to my husband. A couple of weeks later, I woke up my son, who's 5, to get ready for hockey practice. I asked him if he slept good, and he said, yeah, but where'd the scary lady go? I asked him, what scary lady? He said, the one that was on the ceiling last night. I was dumbstruck and just told him I was the only girl in the house. He didn't persist, and neither did I. Nothing has happened since, except for a hat that wound up on a stuffed animal on a top shelf in my other son's room. Neither my husband or I recall doing it. I hope you like that. I don't know if anything else will happen, but I will let you know.
We've said it before. When the kids start to see it, you know it's real.
Yeah, especially when they talk about it in such a nonchalant way.
Yeah.
The lady that was on the ceiling. Huh. Are we having Eggo waffles today? You know, it's just no big deal. Uh-huh. Pass the syrup. Yeah, the devil was in my room last night. Kind of a creepy guy. Hey, is that what's on Netflix? It is odd. You can tell a lot of times when they're making something up or for attention because it kind of gets detailed.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets, well, and then, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I can always tell when Harper is making her imagination go fun. And then kind of, you know, telling a big one. But something like this where it's just nonchalant. That's what would be creepy to me. Because
mm-hmm.
she, you know, she has her imaginary friends, as she calls them right now, or what is she? Is that what she's calling them?
Her pretend friends.
Her pretend friends is what she's mm-hmm. calling them. My pretend friends. And I asked her, because, you know, with what we do and the stories that we get in, I said, do you ever see them? And I get this eye roll from her. No, Daddy. I've made them up. They're not real.
Like, you're the idiot.
Like, why would you even ask me that?
Uh-huh.
What are their names? Donatello, Michelangelo, Raphael.
So essentially, and Leonardo.
They're Ninja Turtles, yeah. is what their names are. But it's kind of funny because the other day we were at something. And she said to me, oh, I wish my pretend friends were here to see this. Just like, well, they're pretend. Can't they just kind of show up whenever? No, they're not here right now. They're busy. So there you go.
At least her pretend friends are not like mine were. So
you saw yours. Yeah.
I saw mine.
Yeah,
yes.
But you didn't. It wasn't multiple. It was just one.
No, just the one.
What would you do if she suddenly started describing her new pretend friend that looked just like yours, and I see him?
I would be happy about that.
Would you?
I would be. I would be because I have nothing but good memories from that.
What if he starts telling her to do bad things?
He didn't tell me to do bad things.
What if he did?
Then that wouldn't be okay.
Then you wouldn't be cool with
it. It wouldn't be the same thing.
It would be a different pretend friend making himself look like your pretend friend to screw with our real child.
It's like a pretend friend soap opera going on.
On the next, as the pretend friend's worlds turn.
Yes.
How did that music go?
I don't know. Just read the story.
I used to like know it. It wasn't, oh my God, there wasn't like a jingle. It was just like a musical. I used to listen to it every day.
We're getting you Ritalin for Christmas.
Will that help me?
I hope.
I don't know. Hi, guys. I love the podcast and I listen to the stories as much as possible. So it all starts when my next door neighbor was murdered by her close friend. That was read in a much too happy of a tone. I was coming off of kind of laughing about something, and then you read a sentence and you're kind of laughing and you don't know exactly where this is going. And that sounded horrible.
Okay. Do over.
Let's not be so jolly on that sentence. That's.
Well, it is what it is, I guess.
Here we go. Hi, guys. You love the podcast. Listen to the stories as much as possible. So it all starts when my next door neighbor was murdered by her close friend. It was so out of the blue and she was so young. Anyway, she had lived in that house with her mother for about 3 years. I'd become very close with her and I knew her very well. My father was talking with her mom a couple of months after she had died. He then told my mother about their conversation, who ended up telling me. That night after my mother heard about their conversation, we were out on a walk. My mom told me about that our next door neighbor was feeling very sad because she felt as if her dead daughter wasn't really there for her. Everyone was telling her that her daughter was going to be there in spirit, but she wasn't. Then my mom asked me a strange question. She first asked me if I felt her. I was close to her, and of course I felt her with me at the time, but almost as if she didn't really leave me alone. Then she asked, "What color do you see when you feel her?" And I said yellow, because her hair was a very light blonde, and I told her how whenever I feel her, the energy around me kind of shakes. My mom's face lit up, and all she said was, "Yes, yes, yes." That night, when we got home from our walk, I looked outside at the darkness, and I saw the blonde standing right in my driveway. And she looked as if she was sad. It really threw me off. Whenever I see ghosts and such, my heart starts racing and I move as far away as possible. But that night, it is almost as if I wanted to go outside to her and comfort her. And it's almost as if she was telling me that she was there for her mother as she was with her. And she was sad. Her mom didn't notice. I have many more stories from things I've experienced that I'm going to write to you soon. Thanks for reading this, Aiden, in New Jersey.
I think maybe the neighbor's mother just wasn't able to pick up on those energies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, it's unfortunate for people that really want to. They want to be close to somebody who's gone and they can't, but you know that they're still there if you can feel them.
Yeah, and I'd say she's probably the majority. I don't think a lot of people have that ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think some do, some do not, and yeah, I think you're right. I think, unfortunately, sometimes there's a lot of folks out there who would love to have that ability.
Yeah.
And do not and cannot get it. And there's plenty who have it and would give anything to give it to someone else.
Because the thing is, when you have it to the level of you can, you know, far beyond what I feel, you mm-hmm. know, we're talking more like what, you know, Cisco's abilities are.
I see dead people.
You can't turn that off. It's not like, oh, I can just see my loved ones mm-hmm. when I want.
Yeah.
It's you get all or you get nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There you go. Thank you for sharing that story. And it sounds like it her being able to sense that did have a positive outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you for that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, if you have not checked out the EPP programs yet, it is well worth it. You hear people always mentioning it in stories and calls and whatnot. If you're wondering what this is, what is this mysterious EPP thing? That's our extra podcast program, or extra podcast people is what EPP stands for. You go to ghostpodcast.com. And that's where you can download all these bonus episodes. We put out one a week, and you have access to the entire archive of them there at ghostpodcast.com.
I had a story come in where they listen at work,
mm-hmm.
and to appease the coworkers, they are only allowed to listen to EPP episodes out loud. They don't listen to the regular episodes.
Only EPP.
Only EPP. And there's like a couple wow. of them in this office. So,
well, there you go.
Thought that was interesting.
That's That's cool. I would love to like be a fly on the wall in some of these workplaces where our show is listened to
I know.
On a regular basis, just to see the reactions and hear the reactions. But so anyway, check it out, ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all we ask. Helps keep us on the air. And if you want to sign up for a full year, you get one of those months free and a bunk bed bell as well when you sign up for that. So check that out over there at ghostpodcast.com. Madison writes in, after my parents got married in 1997, they bought the house my grandparents had lived in and my mom grew up in because my grandparents were moving to Florida. I was born 3 years later, but nothing happened to me until I was 4. Anyway, my grandpa had a daughter from a previous relationship, and she was around 8 when the story occurred. As the first of many in that house, the year was 1973, I believe, and my grandparents had just gone to bed. Diane, my grandpa's daughter, had been asleep for nearly an hour or so when her room was right above theirs. All of a sudden, they both hear the same time, all the noise and racket going on directly above them, like someone was running around and throwing furniture and stuff. My grandpa goes upstairs. When he opens the door, he finds the room perfectly intact, and Diane is fast asleep like nothing had ever happened. Sometime that same year, my grandma's dad had just passed away, and she was falling asleep. We kept hearing the door creak open and closed. She sat up in bed and her dad was standing in the doorway. He said, "It's all going to be okay." Then he faded away back into the door. My mom was born in 1975, and soon her stepsister had moved into the other stairs and the room across the hall. My mom had gotten the room that used to be Diane's. My mom always had told me that she would wake up in weird times during the night and early morning to hearing what sounded like a rocking chair creaking next to her bed. Yet there wasn't even an old wooden rocking chair in the house. Diane has cystic fibrosis, and shortly after her 19th birthday, she passed away. My mom was upstairs one day in what had been Diane's room. She was looking through a trunk at the end of her bed, which had all her belongings packed away in. She looked up onto her bed, and there sat Diane. She said to my mom, "Don't tell Mom and Dad, this will be our secret." And she just disappeared. Years later, my mom and dad buy the house from my mom's parents, and it's around 2 a.m. They're asleep in the master bedroom, and my mom rolls over. To her surprise, in the floor, just sitting there, she sees a transparent little girl around 2 to 4 years old who just fades away. I was born in February of 2000. Nothing had ever happened to me until I turned 3 or 4. I was in my mom's old bedroom, and it was around 3 a.m. when I heard this weird rocking chair noise I'd never heard before in my room. I woke up, sat up, and looked towards a closet where I see a little girl who looks to be around 3 or 4 and a big lab-looking dog. They have no legs, just short of the hips up. They start floating towards me. I get up, run out screaming, and wouldn't go up there for months afterwards. Lastly, around the same time, I'm sleeping in my sister's bed because I'm too afraid to sleep in my mom's in my room again. It's a Sunday, and my mom is in the bathroom in the shower. I roll over, awake, and I look towards her closet and see a very tall young woman, almost 20 years old, standing there looking at me. I like to think it was Diane, who I've never met since she passed before I was born, but it looked nothing like her in the pictures I've seen of her around the time of her death. Those are my family stories from that house.
You know, it could be, especially since they have a history of seeing Diane in that house.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of interesting that they went ahead and bought the house from the grandparents knowing that it was haunted by a family member. Would you ever do that?
Yeah, I mean, if you know the extent of the haunting, and it seems like the haunting really was, you know, a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that would be probably one of the only cases where I would be willing to say, yes, I'll buy that haunted house.
Yeah.
Knowing what it is, or at least being pretty darn sure of what that is that's in that house. You?
I think if I knew that it really was who I thought it was,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I probably would.
Yeah, I'd be down with that. Until suddenly it's like you get the house and they're like, ah, ha, ha, it's not... No, Aunt so-and-so.
Yeah.
And then their head spins around and shit gets real. But yeah, so there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We're all over social media too, by the way, if you want to follow us on Facebook, Real Ghost Stories Online. Lots of people interacting there. It's not really just following there. That's kind of become our message board. So if you want to interact with other folks, comment and really conversate amongst everyone and yourselves, including me. I'm on there. I put a lot of videos up there responding to stuff. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat, Ghost Podcast, if you want to search and add us there. Next letter says, "Hi, Team Brewski. I really love listening to your podcast. I have several stories, but one that creeped me out the most occurred a few years ago when I was working one summer night with a colleague in the town of Henley on Thames, which is in the country of Oxfordshire, England. There we go.
There you go.
I said it correct. Henley is a real old town, dates to the 12th century. It's famous for the Henley Royal Regatta, which occurs annually in July on the River Thames. Just to give you a brief background on me and my job, I've worked all my adult life in horticulture, and the company I work for supplies and maintains summer hanging baskets in towns and cities in the southeast of England. These hanging baskets must be watered through the night, as it's an impossible task during the daytime with all the traffic passing through. We use an electric-powered water bowser on the back of a flatbed truck. We then use a long hose and water lance, which enables us to reach the baskets high up on the lamppost in the towns. Sometimes we work in pairs, as we did that night. Occasionally, it's more efficient for one of us to sit on the back of the truck to water the baskets while the other person drives around and gets as close to each lamppost as he can for ease of watering. So, to get back to my story, on this night, me and my colleague John were out and halfway through our round of watering in Henley. It was about 4 a.m. and still dark, but the streetlights produced enough light to enable us to carry out our job. We had just finished on Bell Street and had turned right into New Street to water 20 or so baskets that were waiting for us. Here I left John to carry on watering while I took a break. I decided to do a little bit of window shopping and cross the street to look into the window of an old shop that looked like a cross between an antique shop and a brick and bark store. I am interested and old, curious, so immediately drew me to it. Well, I peered in through the window and couldn't see much interest me. I was just about to walk up the street a little further, but just as I started to turn away, I saw a dark figure looking at me. Not inside the shop, but outside. On the left of the shop was a passageway, which would lead around to the back of the shop. This figure was partially hidden because it was standing in the passageway, but it had its right hand on the corner of the shop to support itself, and it was slightly leaning forward so it could look around the corner at me. The freaky thing about it, other than having someone or something looking at you at 4 a.m., was it was black, just totally black. I looked up at its face, but there was no features, no eyes, nose, or mouth, just a solid black thing, but in a human form. It was slightly taller than me, I guess about 5 feet, 8 inches. I could see it was wearing clothes, but only because I could see how they were outlined. It was wearing a hooded cape. The hood was over the head and gave the impression that it was tied in the neck. The cape was as long as halfway down its thigh. It was wearing trousers and what looked like thick leather boots that finished just below the knee. I don't know what it wore under the cape, because as I had mentioned, the figure was entirely solid black. The only reason I knew it was looking at me was by the position of its body, hand, and head. So for a brief moment, I was looking at it, and it was looking at me. Then very slowly, it withdrew its hand from the wall and slipped very slowly and quietly backwards into the passageway, while all the time observing me. Well, I freaked out and rushed back to my colleague, telling him I had seen a ghost. He was, as you would expect, very skeptical. We both walked back over to the passageway entrance and looked to see if we could see anything, but it was gone. We were both a bit freaked out, though. Thinking about the figure afterwards, several things occurred to me. This thing was simply observing me. It didn't really want me to see it. I don't think it wanted to scare me. And the other weird thing was the silence. Basically, there was no sound. I heard no sound from it. My colleague, working a little way behind me, or for the night itself, when I really should have heard something, I tried to do some research to find out what era the clothes it was wearing could relate to. The nearest I could find was the 15th century. Could I really have seen something that old? Was it human or some other entity? I hadn't heard of shadow people before I started listening to your podcast about 6 months ago, so could it have been one of them? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. I found a recent photo of the shop and passageway, which I'll try to email to you. The neighboring building to the left of the shop and passageway was an old pub called the Horse and Groom. It has since closed down, has become a residence. Hope you enjoyed my story. I have a few others I can tell you another time. Once again, thank you for your wonderful show. Best wishes. There you go. Freudian slip. Jerry from the UK.
It sounds to me like a shadow person.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting that his the shadow person apparel was a little bit different.
Well, different, but that's actually a common one we hear about shadow people. Is kind of the cape thing is, mm-hmm. is somewhat common. The hat, the top hat is a typical thing, although this one didn't necessarily have that. Mm-hmm. But it makes me wonder, because with some of those things that go along with it, the cape, the hat that we hear commonly and other people saying that in other places as well, are a lot of shadow people from a different way back bygone era?
I don't know.
As opposed to other entities that people see that are a little clearer? Does the visibility of them, I wonder if that's affected by time, and that's why some of those things are more common where people say they see the hat.
I don't think so.
Outline.
I don't think so, because no? There's been plenty of stories where people have seen a shadow person and it's the outline of a familiar person that they knew.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I go back to that too.
I don't know.
And by the way, there was just a noise that happened there when Jenny was talking. It sounded like, It was me.
Yeah.
Just EVP hunters, beware.
Okay.
I was yawning. So there you go. 855-853-4802, the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences, your stories with us. Steve says, hello. Just started listening and enjoying the show. So first off, thank you for setting up the podcast. To start off my story, let me give a little backstory on the area. I live in Flagstaff, Arizona. On the outskirts of town, there's a road called Woody Mountain Road, which leads off into some woods and houses scattered about. One of these homes in particular is known as the Haunted House by locals. There's several stories about this house, but all include a man, his wife, and some amount of children, all including the man killing the children and his wife, and then himself. I've not found any evidence of this incident, though, when looking it up. Several people I know have had creepy encounters here. My story begins on the night myself and a few friends decided to venture out to the Haunted House around midnight. We drove almost all the way there until I got a bad feeling. We stopped and got out of the car to look around. While standing around, we can hear what sounds like horse hooves walking around us in the gravel, so we all spread out to look, but nothing was there. At one point, I get this uneasy feeling and hear a voice whisper into my ear to leave. I turn to look at my friends and watch as a pair of red eyes materialize behind one friend's head, floats across and disappears behind the other friend. I then become overtaken by a sense of dread and fear. It felt as if someone had punched me full force in the stomach, all at the same moment. We looked at each other and said, it's time to go. I'd felt it too. As soon as I get back into the car, I became freezing cold. It had felt as though someone pulled a blanket from the freezer and tightly wrapped it around my body. I felt constricted and ice cold, yet relaxed. I turned the heater on full blast, but I couldn't feel the warmth. As I drove out of there, I couldn't help but sense we were being followed. Not from directly behind, but more up above, over the shoulder kind of behind, like a bird following. I was overcome with fear and emotion. I haven't been back there since. The other strange part is I was recording the whole time. The audio, you could hear what sounds like voices and tapping on the microphone, even though I was holding the phone out in front of me. The next day, the audio was gone. I believe I felt an evil presence that night and a protective one as I fled. This is one of my stories. I hope to hear it on your show. Thank you for your time.
It sounds like it went away pretty quick, though.
Mm-hmm.
That for whatever reason it followed, it got rid of the evidence and then left.
Like you were in its territory.
I think that's the best case scenario for that kind of situation.
Yeah, for something like that.
Yeah.
Creepy stuff. Doesn't like wandering out to haunted houses.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to, but I'm too chicken.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid of both people and the ghosts. More so the people.
I'm also afraid of the structural dangers.
That and the fines.
Yeah.
involved with if someone caught you. I've always been one to not venture into the realm of, oh, I could really get in trouble for this. Mm-hmm. So it's always fun to hear your guys' stories, though, and the adventures you guys go on, kind of living vicariously. Renee writes in, first off, I love your show. I listen in well at work and in between clients. I work at a nail salon in my city in Texas. My story starts off with, I have very strong feelings and awareness as to when bad things will occur within my life. That's another story for another time. I used to drive a small Honda 2001 sporty type vehicle. Grew up driving Suburbans and trucks, so I hated my car as it was so low on the ground. Well, on this particular day, I got up and got ready to head to the salon as I always do. Made my coffee as I headed back to the room to continue getting ready. I spilled my fresh coffee. I thought in my head, it's never a good day when you spill your coffee. When I left for work, I left just within the 30-minute span it would take to get to work on time. The city I live on is undergoing a lot of construction, so naturally I knew no matter what, I would get caught in a delay. As I'm driving on the freeway, a white pickup truck cuts me off, starts to brake. In my head, I thought, what assholes weaving in and out of traffic. The truck started to pull to the left, off lane, to avoid collision with the car in front. Naturally, I did the same, only traffic was going a bit faster, so I braked harder to avoid any accident. That's when my steering wheel started turning to the right, oncoming traffic from the next lane. I literally saw my life flashing before my eyes, and I was sure I was going to die. In my passenger's mirror, I saw a semi-truck coming right from my car, and I knew I was done. Out of the corner of my eyes in the passenger seat, I saw my father. He passed away in 09. I was in shock to see him, and suddenly my car stopped and wouldn't move. The truck side swiped me and gave me whiplash, but no serious injury. Then just like that, my dad was gone, out of sight. The rest happened so fast. Ambulance and police. I have yet to tell anyone that I saw my dad, but I truly believe he was protecting me that day. 3 days later, in the same spot on the freeway, two women died in a semi-accident. It was really shocking that it happened so close in distance and time as mine. A week later was my birthday, and everyone made a huge deal considering the scare we all had with my accident. Hope to hear any take you guys have on my story and can't wait to hear it on the air. Please alert me if it goes up. I'd love to hear your take.
You know, it kind of made me wonder the way there was a very similar type accident. Very close, very same time frame.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like if something intervenes and changes the outcome that was going to happen, if then it goes on to the next, I guess, candidate.
There's like a waiting list?
Well, not so much a waiting list as much as it's more like a score that needs to be kept.
Yeah, it's like Final Destination. Although that follows the same person.
Right.
Whereas this is like, oh, you won. You survived. Plinko. Now we're on to the next contestant. Who's going to win this?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. It's an interesting thought.
It's just very coincidental. And we know coincidences are usually more than that.
Mm-hmm. It's a creepy thing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know, because you could end up a lot of survivor guilt as well for something like that, even though it's not like the accident, the other, you know, women died that same day. Like, I swerved, but the car next to me
right.
got nailed, you know. It was more like completely different time, nothing to do with the first,
mm-hmm.
you know, in all sensible, you know, realities. There's no... Nobody can go, well, because this accident happened and you lived, these people died. But it does kind of make you wonder about something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm pondering it and I'm trying to come up with more words, but I don't have any. There you go. Carla writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. Carla here. My current husband and I bought an older mobile home and moved to Bennington, Vermont, where we moved to a home to a tiny trailer park by a national forest. We were here only about 3 months before I started hearing, seeing, and feeling things here. I was constantly woken up or kept up by noises in my master bath. On one occasion, I did see a small old lady-like shadow pass by the bathroom door. Now, I should mention my gram had passed after a long stay at the hospital just after all this started, and I did inherit some small items of hers, along with a necklace and some of her ashes. We'd also bought the cutest little, is this Chiweenie?
Chiweenie.
It's like a chihuahua and a weenie dog?
Yeah.
Never heard of that. Chiweenie puppy, who slept in a cage at the foot of my bed. Every night during the time of noises and shadows, he would cry and whine. I get up and see what his issue was, and he would always be coerced into, backed into a corner, cowered in a back corner, covered up with his pillows, staring at the bathroom door. I'd sometimes come out of my room at the end of the hallway to get a drink in the kitchen, all the way at the end of the home, and on one occasion I saw a white light ball just jump off the TV stand into the floor and swoosh off very quickly. My 21-year-old son told me later, without knowing what I saw, that he had seen the same thing a week or so after. When I walked into my bedroom with the master bath, I felt a heavy feeling in my chest, loss of breath and heart palpitations. After about 6 months of not sleeping very well and the puppy being scared in a corner at night, I finally stood up to it and said, "If this is you, Grandma, you are welcome to stay, but please stop making so much noise and keeping me up. You're not allowed to show yourself the puppy. You are scaring him. If this is not my grandma, you need to leave him alone. You are not welcome here and must leave now. This is my home now." After that, everything stopped. Since then, I have no paranormal noises or sightings, and the puppy doesn't cry at night. I do have a serious question for Jenny, though. As soon as everything stopped in my home, I started seeing the number 444 everywhere. I mean, not once or twice a week. I mean, up to 10 times a day. From the clock to prices of chicken, billboards, license plates, on the car in front of me, etc. Absolutely everywhere, and it's still happening. Is there some correlation to these three numbers in a row to the paranormal? I'm wondering if my angels are trying to tell me something. Obviously, someone is trying to get a message across, but what would that message be? I thank you both so much for your podcast. I listen every day. I'm almost caught up on all the episodes and hope to hear this story sometime. Maybe Jenny's ideas on the number thing. Live long and prosper. Peace out.
I don't know of anything with 444. Do you?
No, but if you flip it upside down, it's 666, depending on how you draw your fours.
Okay. Why not just send out 666?
I don't know. I don't know. If you're going to go to this, you're a demon going to the bother of doing messing with numbers and making them visible to people, you think you just do the 666?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I don't know of any, I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about numerology or anything like that. But I do know, psychologically, there's sometimes, if there's a number that's going to stand out to you and it starts to kind of make itself known, maybe for a short period, which could just be a coincidence, it will then start to stand out to you a lot more, especially if you're noticing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be all that is, or maybe it's a demon following you around. Us not able to write sixes very good. I don't know.
I don't know. But if anybody knows a significance in numerology, please share.
Yeah, let us know or post it up on our Facebook page. And that's a great way to respond to stories. So if you've ever have some insight into a story or thought on something that someone talked about, when we post our shows, there's a post up on Facebook correlating to that show. You're always welcome to go on there and post your thoughts and comments. And it's a great way that everyone can then interact and have their voice heard. At let's look us up, Real Ghost Stories Online out there on Facebook. So there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. You like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. That's what the main support of the show comes from. It's $5 a month, or you can sign up for that full year. Get 1 month free and a bunk bed bell when you sign up for the yearly membership. Ghostpodcast.com, the place to do it and get all the bonus episodes of our program at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.